Alright, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 2 in this Ancient History program of History at Our House for the elementary class of History at Our House. We're returning to our theme of Where Am I today? We're going to talk about different subjects and what they help us to know about the world. And of course, we're going to, all that for the purpose of a lead-in to talking about history. And why is history one of the subjects that are so crucially important to study? And so let's talk about, I gave you as a homework assignment the to think about these subjects that you study, whatever they may be, and to try to come up with a good explanation as to what they tell you about the world, which is maybe a little bit of a different way of thinking of things or saying things than you might be used to. You might be used to thinking, okay, why is grammar important? Or you might be used to thinking of, well, what is literature good for? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to express this thought. The way that I'm putting it is, what do these subjects tell me about the world? Because this is what we are doing when we are learning things in school, or this is, to put it more precisely, the purpose of education is to learn about the world and to grow up to be a person who can successfully live in it. So what are these subjects doing for us if we're learning them? What are they teaching us about the world? All right, so let's see if you guys had a chance to think about any of these at all. Let's start with some of the most basic stuff like spelling, vocabulary, and grammar. What do these subjects teach us about the world that we live in? What kind of world is it that these subjects, spelling, vocabulary, grammar, everybody's got to learn these? Why? Are they a big waste of time? Or do they actually tell us something about the world we live in? Gabriel, what did you think of that?
I think our language shows that we are still connected to some of the best parts of the past. So much of our own vocabulary is built on Latin and Greek stem words.
Oh, wow. Now, that's a very interesting insight. So, yes, right. So, the ideas that we use are expressed through language. That's really wonderful. And the additional insight that you have there is that many of our ideas, the very things that we use to think, right, have been handed down to us by people from long, long ago. Right, so language is a tool for communication and for thinking. Right, so if we don't know how to use language, we really are stuck. Here's a funny way to show you the value of spelling in particular. You guys will get a kick out of this. Private, customer parking only. All others will be towed. Get the joke? Who needs to learn spelling? What is the joke? See, you guys don't want to have a parking business, otherwise you're going to get in real trouble. Julia, what's the joke?
They spelled toad wrong. They spelled it like the kind of frog.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, private customer parking only, all others will be frogs. Well, I'm sorry, buddy, but that's not how language works, right? We need to know how to spell. Right, here's another good one. Violators would be toad. Hey, they got the word toad right. And fined $50.
Oh.
That's a good joke, too. So these guys know how to spell the word toad, but what did they get wrong? You gotta know spelling, right, Patrick?
We'll be fined.
Yeah, this is the word fined.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you are a violator, you will get $50. Hey, that's not so bad.
No, you pay $50.
Of course, because it should be spelled F-I-N-E-D. So you don't want to be a person who doesn't know how to spell, right? Because then you can't think clearly and you can't communicate to other people clearly, right? And especially through writing. Right, so here's my favorite example of a funny example, of course, a humorous example of the importance of grammar. Does anybody know what grammar is? Maybe you aren't studying it yet. Patrick is going to start. Patrick has started to study some grammar last year, and he's going to be doing quite a bit of it this year, kind of for the first time. What does grammar teach us about the world? That's a really interesting subject. I'll tell you what grammar teaches us. Grammar teaches us that... Oh, Rosetta, you want to try that one? Go ahead.
Well, grammar teaches us about how to write... how to write, basically, I write about the world.
Mm-hmm, true. What it teaches us is that in order to think clearly, we have to organize our thoughts. We have to organize the words that we use in a specific way. If we use them in an imprecise way or in an incorrect way, our thinking becomes muddled and our communications become muddled, and we can end up having all kinds of outcomes that we didn't expect and don't mean. Here's the funniest one. Here's a great example of the importance of grammar. Do you guys get the joke? Jeremy, do you get the joke? What's the difference between the two sentences? What's the first one say? Oh, well, I'm having trouble with Jeremy's audio today. So, Gurney, what about you?
Is it because there's a comma?
Yes, and what does the comma change? Why is it so important? It's a rule of grammar where you put commas. What's the difference between the two sentences? All right, well, this is a good lesson for you, Sigourney, for grammar. What does the first sentence say, Patrick?
Let's eat grandma as if you're going to eat grandma.
That's right, you're going to eat your grandmother. That's not what you want to say. What does the second one say, Patrick? Let's eat, comma, grandma.
Let's eat, comma, grandma means let's eat with grandma.
Grandma, exactly, right? So, oh my goodness, if we don't know how to spell, if we don't know how to use the rules of grammar, we sure can do funny things, say things we don't intend to. This is obviously just a humorous example, right? But these are serious subjects, and when we are expressing serious thoughts, and we have an unlimited capacity for that, we need to know these things. We need these rules. We need to know how to spell words. We need to know how to organize them using grammar. And, you know, plus we need to know the words in the first place, right? That's vocabulary. People that have a good vocabulary are people who know how to express certain ideas. The greater your vocabulary, the more ideas you can use to in your thinking, basically. That's the, and we're human beings. We need ideas, and we need to know how to express them for our own thinking and for our own communication. Right? So imagine if Mr. Powell was here and he didn't have grammar and Mr. Powell didn't have vocabulary and he was trying to teach you history. And he was, okay, so here's Mr. Powell without vocabulary or grammar. History, like, you know, is good stuff about, like, old things, right? So it's good to know about old things, right? From old times. And good. Good to know. Right? I mean, That's a pretty limited vocabulary there, Mr. Powell. You know the word good, and you know the word old, and you know the word things, but guess what? If you want to teach history, you better know some more words, right? Otherwise, you're going to be stuck, and you won't be able to communicate very effectively. And what about your poor students, right? They are not going to learn gooder. So, okay, let's not get too goofy now, Mr. Powell. Alright, so obviously, spelling, vocabulary, grammar, these are building blocks of knowledge. We need these things as human beings. If we don't know these, if we don't have these building blocks, we can't use language. And this, of course, is how we know and how we learn and how we communicate. So it doesn't get more basic than that. Of course, we don't just live in a world of letters, words, and sentences. So what other subjects do we learn that allow us to expand as human beings, to grow up and to be able to do more things, to be able to understand the world in greater and more exciting ways? Because we need more than just the building blocks. What are we going to build out of them, Rosetta?
I was going to say languages.
Okay. Then, but how do we, how do we express ideas in languages? Not just in single sentences, right? What do we have to do?
We have to learn the language.
Yeah, true enough. But what do we do when we're putting together sentences into bigger constructions? What's that subject? What's the subject for taking all of our words and combining them together, Gabriel?
Writing.
Yes, and speaking also, of course, but writing is an absolutely crucial subject because we take those building blocks and we put them together and we express ideas that we can't express in just by using words, right? So, Patrick, for instance, I was asking Patrick about he was doing his homework assignment. Patrick was thinking about the value of literature. And in particular, he has a whole series of books that he enjoys, which is kind of a combination of literature and history and other things. I don't know if you guys know about these, but if you don't, it's great. So I recommend them. So they're a series of books called The Value Of.
Value Tales.
The Value Tales, if you're going to look them up. And you can see all these different things that are important. And they're wonderful, wonderful stories. And Patrick was reading about the story about Abraham Lincoln. And what was the value there, Patrick?
The value of respect.
The value of respect, which is probably some, there it is, Abraham Lincoln, the value of respect. So there's one of the many values that the story of Abraham Lincoln can teach us. But you see, if you want to teach the value of respect to somebody, can you just use the word respect? Is it enough to make a sentence and say, "Hello everybody, respect is important"? Oh, did I just teach you guys the value of respect? What do we need? Why are these value tales so important as an example? But of course, so many stories out there are important to us, right? Because they're written stories. They combine the building blocks of knowledge, our words and our ideas, into wonderful new combinations. Right? And tell us something important, show us something exciting or inspiring, and teach us about the world that we live in. The world that we live in is a wonderful place that we need the written word to understand. And now here's an interesting connection. We need the written word, we need writing, in order to know all the other subjects. What would be a good example of a subject that we need to be able to write it? Otherwise, there's no point. There's nothing we can do in that subject. Anybody know of a subject where writing is necessary? If we don't have writing, we can't do it. Myatt, Henry?
Writing.
Yes, okay, it gave me another subject where writing is necessary.
Spelling.
Well, no, spelling is necessary in order to write. Maybe you're not getting my question, Wyatt. What I mean is, if without writing, another subject is not possible. Julia, what's an example?
Literature?
Yes, absolutely literature, right? So inspiring stories. Okay, does anybody know which one I'm thinking about? Which one would Mr. Powell be thinking about, maybe? Gabriel?
History?
Yeah, absolutely. History is impossible without writing. Does anybody know what this is? This is an example of writing. I think maybe Rosetta might know. Rosetta?
Rosetta Stone.
What a wonderful name you have. It's connected to one of the most fascinating discoveries in all of history, which allowed us human beings in modern times to be able to connect with the people of ancient Egypt who wrote this and to figure out what their life was like. How else could we know? Can they tell us? Can you go there? Can you go to Egypt today and talk to somebody 5,000 years old? Of course not, right? So how do we know what happened in the past? The only way we can know is if it's written down. Thank goodness the Egyptians, and down here we'll find out about the characters down here. They were the Greeks. They learned how to write. So yeah, certainly the world we live in is a world where you need to know how to write. Patrick writes a paragraph every day. And he's going to be learning to write more and more every day. Because, you know what? You just can't get anywhere in life if you can't write. And you certainly cannot learn about the past if you can't write. You can't enjoy wonderful books such as these if they aren't written, right? So, yeah, the art of writing is such a crucial thing to learn. It's really good to start learning early. All right, so that teaches us about the world. We couldn't learn about the world if the information that other people know isn't written down, because otherwise we'd have to talk to every single one of those people, right? So speaking is nice, but writing is that much more important if we're going to learn about the world. So we live in a world where we need to be able to read and write. Certainly, absolutely crucial skills. Okay, but what about writing that's made up? What about fiction? Right? What about creative writing, all that kind of stuff? When you study literature, what does that tell you about the world? I mean, Patrick chose a story that was about Abraham Lincoln, right? That's history. That's real. As long as we hope that the writer got things right, you know, and it's true and everything, right? So usually it is. So that's one kind of writing. But what about stories that are made up? What's good about that? Does that tell us about the world if somebody kind of made up the story, if it's fiction? What do you think? Patrick, what do you think?
Of course not.
Oh, interesting. No, I completely disagree. So, yeah, I mean, your answer says, well, yes, if it's made up, then it's not about the world. But that is not actually true. That is why you love fiction so much, because it does teach you something about the world. So let's find out what it is. Maybe somebody else here can help us. Wyatt, what do you think?
This is Henry.
Yep. Go ahead, Henry.
Fiction does teach you something.
Okay.
Particularly science fiction.
Ooh, what does science fiction teach you? Great example.
It teaches you science.
Yeah, it certainly can. In fact, if it's science fiction, that means that it's science that doesn't really exist. But look at this. This story was once science fiction. I love science fiction, so that was the example that I used too. From the Earth to the Moon. This story was written over 100 years ago. Did people know how to go to the moon back then? No, it was made up. But guess what? People were inspired by this. Oh, people need inspiration in life. We live in a world where we have all these ideas we can use, but it's not automatic for us to use them. It's not automatic for us to be creative and ambitious and so on. We need to be inspired to do those things. And fiction can do that. So that's one great example. Human beings walked on the moon. Why? Well, because they were inspired to do that. That's one of the reasons why. Then, of course, what else did they need? Right? Not just literature. Literature can inspire us, but can it get us to the moon? What does everybody, you know, what do we have to have that people nowadays are spend a lot of time studying these other subjects, of course, Julia?
Science?
Yeah, certainly, right? So we need all kinds of science, and you can't have science without math. So, yeah, you need all of these wonderful sciences that exist if you want to be able to accomplish something like this in real life, right? So learning about science and math is what makes it possible. So it's notice how it's all a combination of things. Right? Notice how we have a lot of things to learn, and this is why we have a lot of subjects. Right? And the older you get, then it's not just going to be science. You're going to learn different kinds of sciences that you need. You're going to learn different kinds of fiction, different kinds of art as well will hopefully inspire you, because there isn't just written fiction. There's beautiful visual art, which can be super inspiring. Right? Visual art is part of our class here at History at Our House as well. One of the things that I love the most, because it's very inspiring, so we're going to look at quite a bit of visual art as well. I'll tell you a little story about how did Mr. Powell become a historian. Obviously, I needed to learn history, and we're about to get to the part about history, right? Because the question is, why what does history teach us about the world that we live in? Right? That's what we're going to focus on in the next couple days here, especially tomorrow. I'm going to introduce you to the idea here today. But guess what? Let me tell you about a little bit about the value of fiction. When I think about how I decided to become a historian and who I am in my whole life, it has a lot to do with fiction. Stuff that wasn't real, stuff that was made up, that I was inspired to learn about. I'll show you my favorite book when I was young. Now, this is older than you guys, so maybe when I was about 14 or something like that. It was my top favorite book. And so here it is. When I was about 14 or 15, this was my top favorite book. It's science fiction. And it's, guess what it's about? It's about a historian. How did you guess? How did Mr. Powell decide to become a historian? Well, this is a story about a historian. He's pictured here on the cover in a fantastic future. And in that future, this historian saves the world. So it's a wonderfully inspiring story. And that's part of how I decided personally to become a historian. So wow, we have, you know, the world's this wonderful place. That's one of the things that art has to teach us, and literature especially. How wonderful the world is. How many possibilities there are. What it is that you could possibly do. And oftentimes, things that don't even exist, but only exist in the imagination. What's the value of the imagination? Is there a story, Patrick, in the Value Tales about the value of imagination?
Yeah.
There is, right? What's the value of having a wild imagination? What's the value of fantasy? The value of being able to imagine things that don't exist. Mm-hmm. The value, we have the value of fantasy. We have the value of imagination. All right, we're going to be talking about history shortly here, but what about those? What's so great about those? Julia, what do you think?
You can inspire people.
Okay, well, what about yourself? How about you can be inspired? right? To do things that maybe nobody's ever done before, or create things. The wonderful thing about your imagination is, your imagination is your ability to combine things in new ways that you've never seen before, but you can just put them together in your head, even though they don't exist in the world. And guess what? Every inventor that ever created something, whether it's an automobile or a rocket ship or whatever, had to first imagine it. Right? Had to have this thought, oh my goodness, maybe it's possible for human beings to leave the Earth. Remember yesterday we were looking at the blue marble, right? Maybe it's possible to leave the blue marble and go to another planet. That's imagination, right? Okay, so we have all these amazing subjects out there. Of course, everybody today knows kind of the value of science and math because so many things are being created now using science and math. So that's fantastic. The internet and what we're doing right now in this class is only possible because of science and math and so on. All right, so before we turn to history, did anybody think maybe of a subject that we didn't talk about today that also tells you about the world that you live in? Maybe you might have thought of other ones. Because there is quite a wonderful variety of other subjects as well that you can learn. I think we covered all the main ones. Okay? But there are others. More and more nowadays, there are things like, you know, skills that you can use, like typing and computer programming, and people are learning those too. Those are useful. Okay. Other things perhaps you might have thought of. Like perhaps dance or physical exercise. Teach you about how to use your body and enjoy using your body in the world. There's other possibilities. Okay, but let's turn to history, right? Because that is our main subject. And what is the purpose of that? Well, today I want to just introduce it. And then I want to take the subject of history in particular more seriously tomorrow. Okay? But notice that all these subjects that we've been talking about, one thing that they have in common that I want you to notice, right? Remember how Mr. Powell was trying to speak, and if he didn't have the right words and if he didn't know grammar, there's only so much that he could say. If you don't take words and combine them into writing, there's only so much that you can think. If you don't write and have wonderful stories of art and fiction, there's only so much that you can imagine. Does everybody get what I'm saying here? The part about the so much? What's the idea here? That if we don't learn these things, if we don't learn science, there's only so much that we can build in the world. No, only so much technology that we can have. What's the idea here of the so much? What happens if we don't have these subjects? What happens if we don't learn? What do we end up having in our lives? And if we learn them, we can break past these. What do we get? What thought is expressed by there's only so much of this or that that you can know. There's only so much of this or that that you can think. What's the idea there? It's another way of saying that. Okay, I'll give you the word. Limitations. What does that mean? Limitations. What does it mean to say that you are limited? What does that mean? Rosetta?
That you can only go a certain way. You can't. They're limiting. They're limiting you because they're saying that you can't You can't go out.
You can't do more. You can't think more. You can't have more. You can't enjoy more, right? So, yeah, these are challenging thoughts to have, right, Rosetta? And here we are right now trying to express them using language and trying to communicate them, right? And we have these limits to our understanding, and we have to try to break past them. And if we do that, then we can see more, we can understand more, we can do more. Okay, well, what about history then? Can you see in what way is history more than if you learn it, you can see more, you can understand more? What more is there that history lets you learn about? That if you don't have history, well, too bad for you. It's out of reach. Well, you're looking at one example here. If you don't have history, what are you limited to seeing? What are you limited to knowing? Julia?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a specific word, but if you don't see the mistakes that people have made in the past, then you're going to make them again.
Okay, you have definitely hit on one important word, Julia, the past. So if that's such a key word, the past, because we're thinking about history and we're thinking about the past, what is the thing that you can only see if you can't access the past?
The future?
Well, no, you can't see that yet because it hasn't happened.
I don't know.
Yes, you do, but you're having trouble finding the word. What is the thing that's right in front of you right now, which we're so limited in?
The present?
Yeah, right. If you can't see the past, then there's only one thing that you can see, the present, right? Now, each of us individually can see part of the past. Right? What do we have that allows us to not be stuck in the present all the time and to constantly be making the same mistakes that we made yesterday or that we made, 10 years ago or so on? What do we have that we have some ability to know about the past and to do more and see more? Wyatt, Henry?
Memory.
Yeah, our memory, exactly, which is crucial also to our knowledge, right? So imagine if you got up every morning and you forgot everything that you knew how to do and all the knowledge that you had, you get out of bed, the first thing that happens is you fall down because you don't remember how to walk. Oh, so goodness. So it's good that we have some access to the past, right? Otherwise, being stuck in the present isn't going to do us much good. So all that past, all the learning we did before, that's really important for us. Okay, so what history is going to give us, and this is what we're going to talk about some more tomorrow, is the ability to see more, to understand the world we live in, to a greater degree, to break past the limits of just seeing what's around us. Because there are some wonderful things around us, but at the same time, what's right around us is not necessarily enough for us to know. If we learn from the past, we can do even better. And the guys that we're looking at right here were the experts in that. So we'll talk about them when we come back tomorrow. All right, so as you can see, you're learning a variety of things in school, a lot of subjects that are teaching you about the world that you live in a variety of ways. They're all important. You need them all, and you have to combine what you're learning in those subjects in order to be able to see more about the world, to enjoy more about the world, to do more as a person, and to get the most out of life that you possibly can. So, history then is part of that equation. History is a subject that allows us to understand the world better than we could without it. So how? What is it that it shows us? We know in a general way that it's about the past. Okay, what good is that? More on that tomorrow. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your participation. It was really great. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Bye.